You don't have to tell me, but some of you are probably old enough to remember that game show, Name That Tune. And it was like, how many notes is it going to take? Well, I have a feeling it won't take many notes for most of you to recognize this tune. And what is this tune? Mission Impossible. I know you want to listen to the rest, but you have to wait. Go home and YouTube it or something like that. Mission Impossible, what a great show. Remember, it would, you know, good morning, Mr. Phelps, or good morning, Jim. You know, it depended on, and then it would, your mission, should you choose to accept it. And then there it is, each week, Jim Phelps, a.k.a. Peter Graves. And for bonus points, if anybody could come up afterward and tell me who was season one, who was Jim Phelps, because it wasn't Peter Graves, I'll give you a pat on the back. Peter Graves, he led his impossible mission force on, well, impossible missions. And each week we'd watch in awe as they seemed to escape danger and just in the nick of time accomplish the impossible. Now, we may not have the cool little, theme song, and we certainly don't at church have the exploding cassette tapes, you know, that the mission would come on. Nonetheless, Jesus Christ has given the church a mission. He's given us a task. He has commissioned us for a reason and for a purpose that we're to be busy about. We've been looking together at the church, understanding what the Bible teaches about who the church is, how we worship. And then we're going to look today on what our mission is. So in a moment, I want to recap a little bit of what we've discussed and seen from the scriptures about the church. Then I want to ask that question and answer it from the Bible. What is our mission? And then I want to end by saying, well, how do we accomplish this mission? What is our mission, and how do we accomplish it? Before we dive into the Word of God together, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the sure and true Word of God. It's unchanging. We don't add to it or take away from it. It is your Word. But we do seek to understand it. And then we seek to apply it to our lives as individuals and as a church. And we need your Spirit to make that possible. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take this word this morning, implant it in our hearts to give us a desire to obey you and the power to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. The church. What is, or maybe who is, the church? When we think about the church, we have to think about the church as a people. Certainly, when we come to faith in Christ, we come individually and we put our faith in Jesus Christ. But then, when we are born again, we are added to, become a part of something bigger than just ourselves. We now have a shared identity, a collective sense of identity of who we are. We are a people. In the Old Testament, the people of God were the nation of Israel. But Jesus threw those doors open and invited people from every nation, all who would confess in faith Jesus is Lord, to be part of this people. So that we are rightly understood, the church is the people of God. And we share that identity together. So we are, the church is a people. And we have been, as a church and as individuals, created for a purpose. Jesus created the church to worship him, to worship the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And when we think about, well, how, you know, what is worship? It's simply to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. It's the great commandment that Jesus gave us that we also see in the Old Testament. That's what worship is. It's loving God completely with everything that we are. And we do that as individuals. We're called to do that. So it's not just on Sunday mornings. 7 days a week, we're to be a worshiping people. But we also do it in a special way when we gather as God's people, as the church. So we looked at, well, how do we worship? You know, what kind of models do we see in the scriptures for the ways in which we can worship? And we saw that it's fitting and right for us to pray together as a church, for us to sing together praises to our God, for us to read from his word, to let it be spoken to us, to teach it, to explain it, to understand it so we can live it. We take communion together, remembering Jesus Christ. We celebrate baptisms. These are just some of the ways, some of the ways the New Testament shows us that we as a people worship God. We as the church can come together in Jesus' name and worship him. So that's our purpose. That's why we exist. That's the whole reason God made anything, is to create people to worship him. But we've, as a creation, as humanity, turned aside from that. Put it aside. It's no longer our agenda. It's no longer a purpose that we seek. And so the church is a people who have been recalled to that purpose, to worship, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he's also given us homework. He's given us a task. He's given us a mission that we're to be busy as a church, as individuals, but also as a church, carrying out. So that's this morning. That's where I want to focus. So what is this mission? Now, most of you probably know it because you've been in church for a while. You've probably heard it said in different ways. Maybe you've gone onto the church website and there it is on the front page. It's our mission. It's our aim. It's our homework that we're going for. But it's quite simply this: to make disciples. We exist to make disciples. That's our homework. That's our mission that God has given us. Jesus Christ himself commissioned us to be disciple makers. And really, actually, what we're doing is we're carrying on Jesus' mission. The mission that Jesus had while he was on earth, he's now entrusting it to us and saying, my mission is now your mission. We read in the Gospel of John, we've already heard from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We read a similar account of a commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. In John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23, Jesus has already been crucified at this point. He's already been raised from the dead, and then he appears, quite surprisingly, to his disciples, and they're a little bewildered and frightened. And Jesus says this to him. Jesus said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he said this: as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold the forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. For 3 years, Jesus ministered in Palestine, in Israel. He ministered by going around and proclaiming good news, proclaiming the gospel, and inviting people to what? To follow him. That was his mission. He was there to make disciples. And it wasn't just the 12. He did call the 12 disciples, but he called beyond just them. And he said, all of you, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, follow me. If we think about what is a disciple, what's the mission if it's to make disciples, and we understand what is a disciple, simply a follower of Jesus. Our mission is to make followers of Jesus, to invite people to the same thing that Jesus was inviting them, to be a follower. Now, I realize that that definition of a disciple as a follower of Jesus sort of just scratches the surface of what that might look like to be a disciple, and that's not where we're going this morning. We're not going to look at all the things that it could be. It's a little bit like if I were to do premarital counseling and I had a man come and say, so what is a husband? I can give you a short answer, and it would be a true answer and a necessary answer. A husband is somebody who is married to a wife. That's what a husband is. But it doesn't really give you the full scope of what's encompassed in being a husband. In the same way, I'm not able to this morning give a full scope of what is a disciple, but I can summarize it simply in somebody who follows Jesus. That's our job, to be inviting people, and to be followers of Jesus, and it's a Jesus-given mission. It's not our own creation. The disciples after Jesus ascended didn't say, so what do we do next? Maybe we can try and figure out, well, where do we take it from here? And then they just said, well, we could plant churches. Sure, that sounds good. No, Jesus gave them this mission. He's the one that said, I want you to be busy doing this. This is my plan, and you're getting on board with my plan. So it's a Jesus-given mission to help others become Jesus followers. That's our mission, plain and simple. We can do all kinds of stuff, but if it's not contributing towards that assignment, then it's probably off base somewhere. We are about making disciples, followers of Jesus. And this is a mission for the whole church. You know, this isn't just for a few people who are in leadership or for missionaries that we send overseas. This is for the whole church. Everyone who identifies themselves with Jesus Christ and is a part of his church is a part of this mission. And that has two sides to it. So one is, you're not off the hook. Not any of you. If you belong to this church, if you belong to Jesus Christ, this is your mission. Not just my mission, it's your mission as well. But then the flip side is also, you're not in this alone. You don't have to do it all by yourself. You're not in this alone. This is our mission to make disciples. And God has gifted us in so many different ways that we're going to contribute to that in different facets. But it's our mission as a church to make disciples. So how do we do that? How do we do that? I'm not going to unfold this morning. I'm telling you a lot of what I'm not doing so that you understand where we are going. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not laying out like a plan for the ministries we're going to do in the church. I mean, we have several ministries that are going, that are a part of this disciple-making process. What I want to share this morning is more a sense of the mindset or the heart that we have if we're going to be able to accomplish this mission. How are we going to be able to carry this mission out? What do we need personally? And what eyes do we need to see with? What heart do we have to have? How do we accomplish this mission? And I think Matthew chapter 28 that we had read first, that Great Commission, gives us in some sense an outline for how we can carry out this mission. If we look at some of the constituent parts of that commandment, we'll see the ways that we are able to carry out this mission. And Jesus, after saying, you know, I have all authority, it's all been given to me, and I'm about to tell you what to do, and the first thing he tells them to do is to go. So I think the first thing in the mindset or the heart that we have to have is we have to see ourselves as sent. We are sent. We've been given this mission. We've been told to go. In other words, we have to have a missionary mindset. Whether you call yourself a missionary, whether you have a job as a missionary, we're all missionaries. If we don't have that mindset, forget it. It's not going to happen. You know, I have several friends who are overseas missionaries that are serving in other countries. And something it seems like they all share in common is that they arrive in country with a mindset that everyone that they see is in need of Jesus Christ. My friends who are in Turkey, they served there for a few years. That's a 99% Muslim country. So they arrived, and everybody that they met, they had this overwhelming burden and sense they need the message of good news of Jesus Christ. So whether it was their new next-door neighbors, or whether it was the person teaching them Turkish, or whether it was the person at the market that was helping them, the two ladies having tea at the cafe, the kids running around the street, they saw with eyes and recognized, we're sent to these people. They had a missionary mindset. Well, I suggest that we have to adopt that same mindset right here where we are. That we can't assume that's for somebody else. We are all sent. We have to adopt a missionary worldview, a missionary mindset. When we see ourselves then as missionaries, suddenly our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, and even strangers will be seen as people to whom we can show love and to whom we can share and with whom we can share good news. Now, to be honest, this is where things usually break down for me personally. It's not so much a lack of willingness. It's certainly not a lack of knowledge. I understand and know the scriptures. I know the good news. It's a self-absorbed, narrow vision that fails to see people all around me in dire need of the saving love of Jesus. I'm just too busy doing my thing, and I don't have a missionary mindset. And I would challenge you, because I know I'm not alone in that, to take the blinders off and see the world with a missionary mindset. Realize we are sent. That's the first step. Recognize that we are sent. But we are sent how, or where I should say, we are sent to the whole world. So we have to see that we are missionaries, and then we have to see the need in everyone. I think too often we're selective in that, and we think, well, they, you know, sometimes we say it sort of sarcastically, well, they need Jesus, you know, or something like that. Other times it's somebody who's close to us, so we say, oh, they need Jesus, but then there's all these other people who don't fit into our mold or maybe aren't like us or don't look like us or aren't from around here, and so we don't see them with a missionary mindset. But he gave this, Jesus gave this commission to go to all nations or have a nation where they all come to us, like our country, and recognize that they all need Christ. Christianity, early on, Jesus was Jewish, his disciples were Jewish, but it wasn't a Jewish thing. As I said earlier, the doors were thrown open so Jew and Gentile, people from all nations, could come. Well, Christianity is not an American thing. It is not just for people who are like us or speak the same language as us or have the same customs or even like the same things or hold the same ideals. It is for everyone. We have been sent to the whole world. Now, some of this might actually mean leaving your home. Some of you may be called to serve in places where you're not right now, to serve on frontiers where Jesus' name is not proclaimed. That is not beyond the realm of possibility for people in this room. It's easy to fall into that mindset that missionaries are the people who come and visit. Thank you, you know, Sharath. Thank you, Yvette, last week coming. You guys do a good job. You might be called to that. Some of you say, well, I'm too old for that. I'm already in a career. I've got all this established. Well, I've had friends who have left careers to go to the mission field. But I've had others, too, who in their retirement have got a second calling. And they serve the Lord as missionaries. Don't think this is only for somebody else. So the first part I want you to hear is you might actually be called by God to be a missionary elsewhere besides here. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that he's calling you. The rest of us, though, even if we are not called to leave, we are to partner with those who are going to those frontiers, who are going to the far-flung places around the world to bring Jesus' name where it's not been named before, where there is no witness, where there is no church. And we are to be partners with them in prayer, financially, and in building relationships with them. The rope holders, as I've used that illustration before. We are to be rope holders. And then we are to be missionaries right here. Right here in New England, in Massachusetts, one of the least evangelical places in all of our country. We have so many opportunities right in front of us. So we are sent, and we are sent to the whole world. Whether that world comes to us or is right around us or we go, we're sent to the whole world. That mindset, and only that mindset, will keep us actively following the mission that we have been given. So we've been sent. We've been sent to the whole world. We have been sent to share good news. We are sharing what we've received. We're just passing on what has been given to us. I had a conversation, it's been a few months now, Joe, but Joe Mayo and I had a conversation about something called the Hobo Code. I had never heard of this before, and then I looked it up on the internet, and sure enough, you see these symbols, and these are not even all of them. These are like ways to communicate between hobos. You know what a hobo is, right? It's people who jump on trains, travel from town to town, and look for work and food and things like that, especially during the Great Depression. This was very, I don't know, very common, but it was much more common, this idea of hobos. Well, they developed their own secret code for communicating to other hobos about places where they were. So, for example, if I went and I found this home where there's this nice old lady who gave me a nice meal, when I'm leaving, what I would do, if I, following the hobo code, I would find a little place on her house where maybe others don't see right away, and I would draw a picture on there that gave a signal to other hobos that there's a nice lady who lives here, and you might have a chance at getting food. So, for example, that one would be draw a little picture of a cat. Then the next hobo who comes to town sees the house with the cat on it and goes, I can get a meal there. They're communicating. Sometimes it's warnings, two little circles. That's handcuffs. And it says, look out, because the cops don't look favorably upon hobos here. So it's a warning. Maybe just keep on moving. You know what I'm saying? This was code. This really happened. This isn't just out of a movie. And my favorite one is a cross. It means use some religious talk and you'll get a free meal. So it was not always on the up and up, the hobo code here. Nonetheless, they were looking out for each other. Why do I tell you this? Because we're beggars. We're people, needy people. And we have received something. And it is our calling to pass it along. One pastor is named D.T. Niles. He has a great quote. Some of you may have heard it before. Christianity is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We have received good news, and it's our job now to share it. When we begin to see that it's great, that we are recipients of grace, that God changed us, then we can begin to believe that he can do that for other people. Until we recognize that we are recipients of grace, we're not going to be sharing it with others. We're probably not going to believe that Jesus even has the power to do it. But once we recognize that we have received grace upon grace, we then can pass it along to somebody else. So Jesus has called us, given us a mission to share what he has already done and given to us, to share good news. At the heart of our mission is bearing witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. And now the church is not meant to be an exclusive club. This isn't the kind of thing where we let in people that we like. The idea is that we are sinners who have been made whole, and now our mission is helping others be whole by the same amazing grace that saved wretches like me and you. That's our mission. That's got to be our mindset in our mission. We are sharing good news. So we're sent. We're sent to the whole world. We're sent to share good news. We're sent to share good news that is life-changing. For 1 week of my life, I worked at Subway. You know the sandwich shop? I worked there. One whole week. I got the hat. I got the uniform, the shirt. And then I didn't make it. I called it quits. I didn't stick it out. Now, in my defense, I think I had a horrible boss, so I had, you know, that's my excuse. And before you get all high and mighty, I'm sure there are many things you've signed up for and not followed through on. I won't even ask you to raise your hand on how many have gym memberships that you haven't been to in 6 months. I'm sure there are some of you there. All of us are familiar with starting something and then not finishing the course. Well, Jesus does not leave room for this kind of discipleship. To just get to the starting line and then quit. Our mission doesn't stop when someone's been baptized. I'd say in some ways it's really just getting underway. Our mission. You know, we have to help disciples live their whole life in response to Christ. And when I say whole life, I mean both duration. You know, it's not just for a season. You know, I was in a rough patch and I tried Jesus for a while and he got me over the hump and then I've kind of left it behind. For our whole life. And then it also means our whole life. Every aspect of our life. We're called to make disciples for the whole life. And so that has two important senses. One is for you and I to hear that we are called to be disciples in every aspect of our lives for our whole life. But it also means that if we're going to be disciple makers, that the job is not finished when we get somebody to believe in Jesus. We're not to make converts, we're to make disciples. People who follow Jesus their whole life and in every aspect of their lives. That's our mission. It's life transforming. It's not just, for a moment. It changes our whole life. So we have a message to share, good news to share that should affect the entire life, for the entire life. And anything less than that is not a call to true discipleship. Jesus doesn't give us that option. That's why he says, baptize them and teach them to observe all that I have commanded. That's what he said. Teach them to be a whole life follower with their whole heart. It's a lifelong, whole life adventure that Jesus has called us to. And we are to be that kind of disciple, and we're to make that kind of disciple. Not just get people in the doors or get them to cross a line, but to help them be followers of Jesus. That's our mission. We're sent to the whole world to share good news that is life-changing. It's easy, though, to get a little overwhelmed with this task. To feel like, how in the world are we going to be able to do this? I've got to share good news with everyone all over the whole world, even the Turkish Muslim, even my next door neighbor, even my family member. it's easy to feel overwhelmed by that task. Many television shows have a plot that goes something like this, right? There's a regular Joe or Jane, and they find themselves in an emergency situation, and they're not equipped for it, but somehow they've got to figure it out. So, for example, you know, the pilot, you know, he conks out. They've got to fly the plane. They got to land it somehow. Or my favorite, you know, something more like this, you know, the time bomb, it's ticking. You just happen to be there when the bank got robbed, and then the bank robber leaves, and there's the time bomb, and there's no time to call in the bomb squad because it's ticking away. How are you going to do it? You can't do it on your own, right? So what happens usually? Somehow that, you know, they put on the headset, and they start talking to the tower. And the air traffic controller says, I'll walk you through this. I'll be there right there with you. You can do this. Or you get on the phone with the police and you say, I've got 1 minute, and I see a green wire and a red wire and a yellow wire, and I've been told, don't clip this one, it could blow it. I don't know what to do. And they'll walk you through it and say, don't worry. I can walk you through this. You can do it. You're not alone. We are not alone in this task, in this mission. We've been sent the power of the Holy Spirit. God himself has given us his presence to enable us to accomplish this mission. You are not doing this thing on your own. Not only do we have one another, we have God's power. He's the one who encourages us. He's the one who gives us endurance. He's even the one at times who gives us the words to speak. He's the one who keeps hope, keeps us hoping in him when it looks like despairing. He's the one who creates circumstances which we can minister in, opens doors for us, brings people into our lives, and then perhaps most importantly when it comes to making disciples, he's the one who changes hearts. That's not our job. Our job is to be a faithful witness, and he's the one who causes people to be born again. So we are not having to do this thing alone. Jesus said, Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. You say, how is Jesus with me? He has sent the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of God. It's Jesus' mission, after all. It's not ours, right? This is Jesus' mission. We're just working for him. And he has given us what we need to accomplish it. He's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit turns mission impossible into mission possible. So I pray that we as a church, we'll keep our focus on this mission. Even in something like Vacation Bible School, I want it to be fun. I want it to be a good time. I want the kids to enjoy it. I want the weather to be good. But the goal, the mission, is to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that needs to be our mission in everything that we do. We are sent. We're all missionaries. We're sent to the whole world, whether they look like us or not. And we are sent to the whole world to share good news, to pass along what we have been given. We've been given good news that changes our whole life. And we've been empowered by the very presence of God to do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission that is before us. Because, God, we can't make disciples on our own. Not true disciples of you, not people who love and follow you with their whole life for their whole life. That's got to be from you. But use us. Let us be instruments. Let us be vessels to accomplish your mission. God, help Greenville Baptist Church keep at its heart worship of you and a mission to share your good news, to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus Christ. And help each individual here take ownership of that. This is not just for others, this is for you. So Lord, I would pray that you would stir in our hearts a desire to follow your mission. It is not an impossible one. With you, all things are possible. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.